Thank you so much for coming and being with us tonight. Glad to be out with you. This is the last Wednesday evening of daylight savings time. Next Sunday, you'll turn your clock back an hour, and we won't have to worry about the sunshine in our eyes when we get in here at 5:30. It'll be good toward dark. Of course, it'll be dark at 4:30, but. That is coming up, and I do appreciate you being here tonight, but we really look forward to it. Can I just stop and just thank the Lord for all of the folks who helped pull off a wonderful Fall Fest? It was just fabulous. It was wonderful. And I really need to thank Amberly Nutini, who kind of formed a team around her, and she had everything planned, and it had to come inside. But we got some benefits of coming inside, that we got to see all the trunk-or-treaters down the same hallway. We had a photo booth. We had everything short of the inflatables, and it just gave us an opportunity to fellowship together. We had 445 parents and kids registered and come through. We had over 100 volunteers, so we had over 550 people here Sunday night in spite of the rain. And it just worked out, and we had a few little scuffs and bruises, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize for that. But with in general, the kids had a wonderful time. We had plenty of candy. We had 1,000 hot dogs, and they gave out 750 hot dogs, and the other 250 went down to the Mac Center and some other places that just needed it. And the buns and hot dogs are down there, and they'll be put to good use. But we had folks working in the kitchen hours before the event began at 4 o'clock, and I'm just so thankful for that. And we were blessed. It's a good way to fellowship, and it's a good way to generate a little community penetration where we can get out into the community, develop some prospects and see some folks and make sure that they're encouraged about other things too. So keep that in mind. I would also mention to you, tomorrow evening, the adults are headed to dinner at the Swampwater Grill. And Bill, y'all leaving about 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock. And they will be, it's really close. It's just out toward Lunkin Airport and just out that same road. It'll be a close trip. You'll be there and back before you know it. Faith and I have another appointment tomorrow night, but John Shea is driving the bus tomorrow evening. Thank you, John, for doing that. And any of the longer trips, I'm going to try to drive, but just be nice to your bus drivers, all I can say. We appreciate that. Also, along with the time change this next Sunday, we have a lot of other good things coming on. Sunday evening, a portion of our service is going to be dedicated to the persecuted church. And if I'm correct, I think Patty Keith is helping with that Sunday night. And if I remember right, today is Patty's birthday and next week is her and Bob's anniversary. So please remember them in the days ahead. Then I think Larry Long's birthday is today. Am I right about that, Dave? I think Larry Long's birthday is today. But we appreciate that. Who? Sharon? She doesn't get any older. No way. Oh, okay. So we'll appreciate that. Anything else in the way of announcements? Don't forget our women's fall retreat coming up Saturday. That's from 9 until noon. The speaker that's scheduled, a lady that's come to do that, she has a son, a young son, it's 23, that's sick, and they're just asking you to pray for her son in hopes that he can take care of himself so they can come. But it's a well-watered woman in a weary world. So please pray about that for Saturday. One other thing we'd mention to you, we got out to visit with Kathleen Burkhart earlier this week, and Bob's visitation is Friday from 11 until 2 out at Cooper Funeral Home, and then the funeral will be at St. Joe on Saturday morning late. So please remember Kathleen and the family. They are so appreciative and needy of your prayers. And Bob passed right from where he wanted to pass from. He wanted to pass from the farm, and in his old house and all those other places, so we're glad for that. Anything else? Please, Marguerite. Yes, ma'am. Marguerite mentions how nice. People were just gracious and appreciative. They were. Amen, amen. Tube steak. That's what we called it as a kid growing up. Amen, the round steak, that's right. We'll have the prayer list here just a little bit later on in the service. But if we can help you or serve you, don't forget the shoebox blessings. All the shoeboxes are gone. They've been picked up and are being used. They're coming back. They should be brought back by the 19th of November. So we've got about 2.5 weeks to get those final shoeboxes back. But if for some reason you miss the shoebox blessing, we are going to have an Angel Tree program that's going to help our kids at Crossroads and maybe some down in Dayton. So we're looking forward to helping some of these neediest of kids, and that will come up in the days ahead. We wanted to do the shoebox blessings first because it needed to get out. We're surely going to remember the persecuted church. We're going to pray for the missionaries tonight and the world, and appreciate all of that. I'm going to ask you a little later on in the service to do something a little different, just to kind of warn our AV techs. Is tonight I'm going to ask a group of you to just pray for our missionaries, okay? I'm going to ask another group of you to pray for our college campuses and the culture that we live in here in America. I'm going to ask a third group to pray for Israel. Just spend some time. So you may want to think about who you want to pray with, at least in those topics, and then we're going to pray about the personal needs within the church, and we'll do that too. And Harold Combs is going to finish us out. But I want to start it out a little different way tonight, okay? So we will do that. If you will, if you're able, stand up, follow Miss Jackie's lead, and she's going to lead us to the throne of grace in worship and praise.
Thank you. We are going to, I taught you a song very shortly after I came here. And so I'm going to review it with you because I think it goes very well with tonight's lesson. It also goes with many other lessons. So the very first thing, though, is I'm going to teach you just the bridge of this song. The rest of it's very easy to follow along, and you will be able to sing this with no problem at all. But I'm going to sing this for you once, then we'll sing it together, and then we'll go back and do the whole song together. So just listen to this part. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Would you sing that part with me? When temptation, so when, teach my song to rise to you. Sorry, there we go. Here we go. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I still not stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Good. So when we get to that part, it's going to be super easy. Let's go back to the beginning, if you don't mind. Here we go. Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
You're welcome to be seated. Let me mention a few folks to bring you up to speed what I can. Let's remember Will and Barb and their daughter, grandsons, and son-in-law in the Middle East. Don't forget Mary Martin and Juan Pablo de Sanchez in Oaxaca, Mexico. Irving Ventura's mother and dad live on close to the west coast of Acapulco, that side, that western side of Mexico. They had a terrible hurricane early last week, but Irving said that they were fine and their church was fine. So please remember them. Don't forget the Mitchums in Thailand, the three little girls, and another one on the way, and we're excited for them. Don't forget the Zofflicks. I asked Dennis today at the coffee with the pastor. We had 21 again today at that coffee fellowship on Wednesday mornings. And Dennis said his daughter Erica and the grandkids got back to the mission field safe and sound last week. So we're thankful for that. Don't forget disaster relief. A lot of times we don't think about disaster relief when we don't hear about disasters. But I do notice there is a lot of cries for relief in Israel. Now, can I say this? I don't want to diminish that. I know it's much more serious than I could even imagine, and I've been there a number of times. But if you want to help with disaster relief in Israel, the best way to give is through Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. And if you give a dollar, 100 pennies goes to the area or the country that you want it to go to. And what better way to share Christ than to help them during this wartime disaster? We already have missionaries there. If you'll remember a couple of weeks ago, in fact, this war is now in its 26th day. The hospital that was destroyed by the errant missile from Hamas was a Southern Baptist-built hospital. Now, we had to evacuate that in the early 2000s when Hamas took over the control of the government. They wouldn't even let our missionaries stay in that little 5-mile wide and about 14-mile long strip called Gaza. But we have missionaries scattered throughout Israel. They do they're welcome to do that, and Israel respects our missionaries, so keep that in mind. Also, we'd mention to you Kathleen Burkhart and the sweet family Jonathan Reynolds. I spoke to Joshua earlier today, and he says, ask our church to continue to pray for Jonathan. He's getting better and bigger every day. So we're thankful for that. Don't forget Gary Simpson. Gary received at least one unit of blood today and maybe more. He's still over at St. Elizabeth Edgewood. Chris McKay, I got to go visit him today. He was hoping later on today to get out of ICU at St. Elizabeth Fort Thomas. And Chris said this to me directly. He said, Brother Rick, God has been in this from the beginning, and I trust him. And he said, every time that you come to visit me, he says, I cannot tell you how much it makes me feel like I'm in the presence of God. And if you weren't humbled before you come into that kind of a situation, you will be when you leave, because I am just like you. And yet, Chris knows whom I represent, and you do too. So we appreciate that, but please pray for Chris and Ashley. David Reinhart and Cheryl. David is stable, but still struggling with cancer. Rick Ginn, one of our newer members, has had his shoulder replacement surgery postponed because of a blood issue. Please remember he and Carolyn. They were here Sunday night in the trunk or treat line and helped out. John Adams, Hank's brother, has gained back 10 pounds that he lost during the intense treatments he was receiving. Sunday morning, we had a little bit of confusion at the end of the service. Someone came to me and said that Bob Wheeler had lost his son. So what do? I go right back there immediately and try to talk to Bob. And Bob was just, he said, Brother Rick, every song Sunday morning spoke to his heart. And said when it got to the last song, he said, I just overflowed. So I called Bob Monday to kind of clarify. And his son, Michael, who had a double brain tumors and had it cleared up, has been re-diagnosed with another brain tumor, and the doctors, he really says, I don't even want to know what you think, how long you think I've got. So Michael is still here, but Bob said, I cannot do what I do if it wasn't for my church family. But the church just surrounded him and loved him Sunday morning. And Bob is an old school guy. There's just not a lot of crying. And yet he said the last song just overwhelmed him. And you know what? What a better place to be overwhelmed than surrounded by a church that loves you. So please remember Bob. Remember his son, Michael D. Remember Cecilia Keys. This was a special request late this week. Karen Martin. They're still finalizing her treatments. Phyllis Trimber. Any new report, Bonnie? Continue to pray for Phyllis. Brenda Salter is home. Actually, Keith was able to come to the Bible study this morning, and Brenda is doing cardiac rehab therapy, and some of you know exactly what that's like, so please remember Brenda. Leslie Mason, I spoke to her yesterday, and she said, little baby steps. She says, I'm doing better. She says, I can finally get in one position that I'm not in severe pain, but she goes back to the doctor tomorrow for an evaluation and maybe a medication change or an injectable painkiller, something that could go directly. If they could figure out directly where this pain is coming from, that's Leslie's great desire. So please pray for Randy and Leslie and the whole family. Joe and Cheryl Johnson. I spoke to Joe and Cheryl today for a good long while before I went to the nursing home, and they're doing much better, feeling better, and should be back. Actually, they're hoping to go to the Swamp Water Grill tomorrow night. So they said they missed the fellowship. And then Kathy Glacken. You may not know Kathy. Quiet, wonderful, beautiful mom. Sits down front here behind this row of teenagers that I love. And Kathy is Dave Abner's sister. She is having a surgical procedure tomorrow. And ask that we would pray for her, and absolutely we'll do just that. And then I'd mention to you the military men and women and their families. Jackie and Mark's son is on the USS Gerald Ford, that huge newer aircraft carrier out in the Mediterranean Sea, and we want to remember them. And it creates a unique type of fret, because at any moment these men, Marines, Naval, Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, could be called up. And we're getting really close to Veterans Day, which is, we'll celebrate here at church on the 12th, but please remember these families and this long list of soldiers, military men and women. David? On the 5th. Thank you for correcting that. Okay. That's this Sunday. I better get my red, white, and blue tie out. Yeah, the 5th. Okay. Thank you. Don't ever hesitate to correct me. I need a lot of that, don't I, Miss Frazier? What? Yeah, okay. Okay. Someone else you'd like to mention or add to this list or update us about? Please, Rita.
The little baby Owen that was in the hospital on breathing apparatus. I got an updated picture of him not too long ago where he was sitting up at a table eating, and last night I got a picture of him in a costume.
Amen.
And they thank this for all our prayers that went over and helped him.
Amen. Thank you for that good news. Margaret Griffin's back here. Margaret, we're praying for you, lifting you up. You're on my list, Margaret Griffin. You better behave. Okay. Please, Franny. Oh, okay. Remember Mary Hogan. Okay. Fran and Ed, if everything works out, they'll be homeless a little later on this month. And if it works out like for John Shea, he's the happiest homeless person I know. He said, I don't have any worries, don't have any utility bills, I'm just wandering from pillar to post. But they are going to build a house out in the county in the spring, and you know, if you've moved, there's so many things to sign, so many T's to cross, so many I's to dot, that it absolutely can give you a panic attack. So please, we remember all of these things. Someone else. Please, Rob.
My brother-in-law, Perry Bradley, took him by ambulance yesterday evening, just shortness of breath, just couldn't. So, took him down to Fort Thomas, whether he spent the night or not.
Mention his name again, Rob.
Terry Bradley.
Terry's on our prayer list here. Yeah, he is, but... Well, that's all right. If you find some news, let me know. Someone else. Please, Marilyn. Okay. Cecilia Key's sister. Thank you, Donna Crawford. Thank you. Someone else. Please.
I have a niece, Lauren. She's due with my great niece in December and having some difficulties with that.
Sure.
My boy that's growing along with the baby, unfortunately. So he needs probably to stay where she's at until early December. And then Courtney has an additional ultrasound.
Sure, your daughter, Courtney. What's Courtney's last name?
Klaus.
And Laurie's? Lauren.
Sandoval.
Thank you. December, looks like it's going to be a busy time, the end of the year for you. Okay. Someone else. Okay. I'm going to ask you, if you feel compelled to pray for Israel, would you stand up right now? And I don't want everybody to stand up. I know everybody's going to pray for that. But if you feel specifically a compulsion, that's Barney Fife coming out in me, compulsion to pray for Israel. If you would, John, would you go back there and kind of in that middle row, go back and pray with those folks? How about those that would pray for our country and including our college campuses and our government. Somebody feel compelled to do that? If you will, come right down over here on this side. Meet with these on this side over here. Just pray for our country and for our college campuses. Who feels compelled to pray for our missionaries? I'm going to pray for our missionaries. If you will, just come down this way, Harold and Bonnie. And then let's leave this back corner here. For if you'll pray for the church's needs. So just kind of get in a circle and pray for the needs that have been mentioned tonight, from everything from the little babies all the way up to our seniorest of saints like Kathleen Burkhart. Okay. That's good. Bill, if you don't mind, would you lead that group and pray for our church needs there, if you'll help them out? Thank you. We'll just take a few minutes, and then I'm going to ask Brother Harold to close us in prayer a little bit later, okay? I think everybody's caught up. Thank you so much. I don't want to say divide and conquer, but I think I just get a special blessing when I can look. I get the privilege of looking in your face every service, but I think it's good for us to get in these cluster groups and pray with and for each other. Thank you for praying for these others too. I'm going to ask Brother Harold Combs. He's going to pray for our youth and our children. And lift them up, and then we'll step right into the Bible study. Harold, if you'll pray for us, and we'll pray for you in the process.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the service that we're having midweek. We need the bridge, Lord, to take us from Sunday to Sunday as we come together in your house. Lord, the prayers that went up from the groups tonight, you are aware of those sentiments. You're aware of the hearts of those that led the prayers. So significant, Lord, the issues that we have in our country today and those abroad, and we know that you're in it. And tonight, Lord, each of the individuals that are here, many of them have unspoken requests and concerns on their hearts and minds. Each and every one that attended church this evening has many, many concerns. And Lord, I just pray tonight that as we consider that, that you put your hand upon them, Lord, and you allow them to have ease and knowing that you're in control of all that is occurring. Tonight we do ask that you be with our children's group, Lord, the youth that are meeting now. And Lord, we ask that you are in the selection of the individual that's going to be determined later on to lead our children. And Lord, the significant part of our church is the work and the growth and the educating of those individuals. We thank you for Colin, for Rebecca, the work that they're doing with the youth. The children and the youth are just the step that the church needs, Lord, as we go forward in the future. Thank you for our pastor, who constantly is aware of the need of our church. And Lord, we know that he's prepared tonight to share your word, and we just pray that each of us allows ourselves to be taken away from the concerns of the world around us and focus on the message that you laid upon his heart. Guide, direct this church, and we just pray that you continue bless it as you have in weeks past. And Lord, we just look forward to many things that our church can achieve. Yes. And we thank you for the reduction of our debt and just on and on and on, the things that we know that you're in it. Thank you for blessing this church. Be with us now. Guide and direct us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you again for doing that. I know it's a little extra effort to kind of gather, but I just feel like we need to focus on those areas. I would mention to you, if you will, go ahead and take your copy of God's Word and turn over to Genesis 22, to one of the weirdest events in the Old Testament. It's an unusual passage of scripture. I've got 6 points. I don't know whether I can finish all 6 tonight, but what we don't finish tonight, we'll finish next Wednesday night. And Brother Harold mentioned about the debt reduction. Last Sunday's fifth Sunday offering was over $27,000. Amen. Amen. And that, because it came in on the last Sunday, it may not actually show up in the October report, but it will show up. It's already been deposited, and we're just thankful for that. Looking at Genesis chapter 22, we're studying on the idea of how to leave a lasting legacy. What will we be remembered for? Will we be remembered for people who lived for time or for people who live for eternity? And this is the first part of this study for the month of November. We'll continue to march, and maybe a Wednesday or two in December. And then either in the middle of December or the 1st of January, we're going to shift gears over to how to die well without fear. So over the next 5-6 weeks, we're going to stay on this focus, how to leave a lasting legacy. And tonight, I want to focus on life's longest journey. And when I start to challenge you with what is so unusual about this passage of Scripture, it's about Abram and Isaac and God asking him one of the most bizarre questions. He's asking him to step up in faith, and the great challenge is just this, is that Abraham needs to know that his faith in God is confirmed. Now, if you'll understand the cultures around Abram in the land of Ur, the odd idolatrous religions called for child sacrifice. God does not ask that of us. He will never ask that of us. And yet, to Abraham, it would have seemed as if something somewhat more reasonable. But let's back up a minute. Who was Isaac? Isaac was that child of promise. He was that one that Abraham had waited so long for. He was old, and his wife was well advanced in years. Is what the scripture, the old King James, calls Sarah. And in the process of all of this time, you remember that God was so patient, so systematic with challenging their faith, that even in late in life, Sarah said, "You know what? I think I've figured out what God wants. God wants you to have a son by my handmaiden." What? Abraham should have put his foot down. Might have solved a lot of modern day problems. But the simple fact about it is, that's where we have all the Ishmaelites. Now, today you hear a lot about anti-Semitism. We hear it on college campuses. There has been a 700% increase in terrorist threats and attacks toward Jews in our country since October the 8th. In our country, 700% increase in the attacks on the Shemites. Now, when we think about this, let me ask you to consider something else. In Israel, they still speak a pure Hebrew language. In Israel, this is the country, this area, the promised land given to God to the Israelites during the Abrahamic days, and ultimately was re-given to them after the captivities, whether it was in Babylon or Egypt or Samaria or wherever they were carried off to by the Persians. And all of that. So when we look at this, there is something unique about the Israeli citizens, that they still live in the same place, they still speak the same language, they still have the same culture thousands of years after Abraham. And there is a reason for that. Again, I don't want to say that we agree with their rejection. We can't. We can't agree with their rejection of Jesus as Messiah, but we can say this: God has been faithful to the Jews. And it started back with Abraham, and when we come down to this place, this is one of the most dramatic records of all of the Old Testament when we look at this crisis that is absolutely recognizable in the life of Abraham and Sarah. I want you to think about this. Now, today, there are some folks in our culture, in our community, probably even in our church, that would say this: you know, my wife and I have a good relationship, and the way we've kept a good relationship is we don't keep secrets. Bless your heart. If you can do that, I hope it blesses you in a great way. I'll tell you, there's some things I keep to myself. That's why I'm still alive. Now, I say this. Could you imagine Abraham saying, "God has just spoken to me and he wants me to take our miracle child born late in our days up to Mount Moriah and slit his throat and offer him back to God"? Do you think that conversation happened? We don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Back in that day, you think Abraham had any less of a love for his gift son, his son of promise? You imagine late in life. I was not as good a dad as I should have been in my 20s. I think I would be a better dad now in my 60s than I was in my 20s. But therein is a problem. God does not give little kids to old people very often. Thankfully. And he gives them to young people, and they make their mistakes just like I did. But when it comes down to this idea of Abraham being challenged by God to do something so out there, it's hard to fathom, isn't it? But if you put yourself in the culture of the day, surrounded by heathens, pagans, when God said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice. But I don't want you to take a sacrifice with you. I will provide you with a sacrifice. That's where we're at tonight. So it seemed improbable and impossible. It surely seemed unnecessary, and we have to ask ourselves the question, why? Because the question had to have pierced Abraham's heart. Now, we look at this. I want you to look beginning at verse 1 of chapter 22. Verse 1 says this, Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Why would you include that in Scripture? I mean, at least the last part of that verse. God said, Abraham, and Abraham said, Well, you need God. I've got a job for you. That's where we're starting on this. So I want you to understand that God was doing something that He can do with us. Was this an audible voice, or was this a voice in His spirit? We don't know for sure, but in the case of it being recorded, to Abraham, it was the same as an audible voice of God. What did God say? Just one word, a name, Abraham. What did Abraham say? Here I am. God has a plan. And when we unpack this, there is a certainty of this journey that's about to take place. Now, when I look at this, would you say amen to this, that tests are a part of living? Do you agree with that? And who does the testing? Okay, I went to the drugstore today for Faith to pick up some things on the way home. I saw a lady get out of a minivan, and I saw a little boy get out, and a little bigger boy, and then another a little bigger boy, and then a big boy, and then I saw a tall boy, tall as me, and they looked like they were headed to war. I just saw that look on their face. I got there, I'm standing in the line in front of this lady, and I said, ma'am, I see you brought all your bodyguards in here this evening. She said, yeah, I did, and they're not happy either. I said, I can tell it. She said, I'm making all of them get a flu shot this evening. And a couple of them are taller than her. So I start to think about this little thing that's going on. And I said, you know what? I appreciate you, and I'm still afraid of my mom a little bit. She said, you better be. Now, when we think about this, this is exactly where we're at. Isaac was in subjection to his father. He was a young man at best, maybe even a teenager. When we come to this point, we see a pecking order happening, and this was a certain journey for a certain opportunity. Now, and the idea is, Abraham, are you going to trust me and obey me? Because it didn't make a lot of sense. Now, Romans 14, 11, and 12, you're not going to see it on the screens, but let me read it to you. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Ed, you already got that up there. I'm impressed. So we have all of this scripture. Do you realize I'm going to give a double portion of accountability because of what I did for God's children as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher. And I didn't ask for this. I think my grandmother did. But I didn't ask for this. But I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give account for myself, not for Brian DeCann. Brian is going to give an account for guess who? Brian DeCann, that's right. And when we stand here, we're not going to stand with all of the deacons and all the denomination and all of the theology. We're going to stand there before God and give account. You've surely done that with a good parent, haven't you? I hope you had a good parent that made you give an account. Mom and Dad would send my younger brother and I to church and then ask us what the preacher preached on to make sure that we actually went to church, because at that time Mom and Dad weren't believers. And I would tell them. I remember the last time that Dad asked me that question, "What did Brother Webb preach on today?" I said, "Dad, best I can tell, he said you and Mom were living in sin." Nervous laugh. But Dad started going to church, and the Word got into him, and the Holy Spirit convicted him, and he was saved relatively short time after that. Now, I say all that to say it's good to give account. Accountability is a healthy thing. We do that every day as a church. I don't mind to tell you. I don't think it's anything embarrassing at all. A couple things, and I think it's more important to take our time and walk through this. Yesterday, Colin Cooch said, "Brother Rick, could we order 30 new Bibles for the youth room?" He said, "Last year we gave all the youth this translation. Those Bibles are scattered, but I'd like to have a bunch of pew Bibles that we could leave in the youth room, that every time they come, I could say, 'Turn to page 1148. We could all be on the same page. It makes perfect sense. And he is training them in the books of the Bible, where to find everything, the poetic books, the historical books, the epistles, the apostles, all of that. He's given them all of that. So Colin says this. I said, "Oh yeah, bring it in. Or tell me what it is and I'll pull it up." "Oh no, I've already got it on my laptop." "Okay, bring it over. We'll look at it." We typed it in. I thought, I think Colin, I can do a little better on the price. Plus, that's going to be $255. That's $5 over the max before we have to go talk to the finance team. Why? Because we're going to be accountable. I wanted him to know that. I knew that. And he said, "Oh yeah, I forgot all about that." So, and they wanted to charge us tax. And it galls me when they charge a church tax for Bibles. That's just me. It's a hillbilly in me. I don't think we ought to be double taxed, but anyhow, that's the way it is. So I try to find it on other places. He already had the best price. And I said, "Go ask Miriam," because Miriam is the answer hub. She says, "Well, you know, $5, let's call Dan and let Dan pull." And I said, "Well, give me just a few more minutes." So I go online, and I click in there, and if I give them my cell phone number, and if I give them my email address, they'll give me discounts. So they discounted those 30 Bibles, and it covered, the discounts were twice as much as the taxes were. So I felt a little bit better. So I said, Colin, this is less than $230, so let's go ahead and order this. He said, "Brother Rick, $5. You're such a jerk." No, I wanted him to know that I'm accountable and he's accountable because the church said. Is that a bad thing? No, that's a good thing. And when we work together like this, it's just healthy. You say, "Brother Rick, what's the big deal?" It's Bibles. It's important and healthy for us to be accountable to each other. When I have to be gone, you think I'm just going up and disappear some Sunday and you not know where I'm at? No, I'm accountable. When I can't be gone, I make sure that you have somebody qualified and interested in the pulpit. Miriam has it on her calendar. All the other staff know when I'm going to be gone. It's printed months in advance in hopes that when people say, "Where Brother Rick?" "Oh, he's AWOL." They'll never say that about me. You know where I'm at. Even when I go on vacation, every once in a while when I get back, Donna Broad is going to corner me and say, "Did you visit another church? Did you preach a trial sermon?" I said, "No, Donna, I did not. You're stuck with me." But that's Donna. I love Donna for that. Now, I say all that. It's healthy to be accountable. And when folks don't feel accountable, what happens to the quality of the family or the faith family, this church? It falls apart, doesn't it? Accountability is a healthy thing. And what we did here this evening in dividing up into four groups and then praying collectively together gives you some accountability to take ownership for those areas of ministry. And can I say this? You can't get that online. "Oh, Brother Rick, I can pray in my pajamas." I hope you do. But beloved, if you want to be a part of a living body of baptized believers bought by the blood and bound by the book, there's only one way to do that biblically. And God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You get something out of being here. And part of that is accountability. And that's what Abraham was going to be called on. He was going to be tested. Let me give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's a different way of saying, but Paul repeats it in this letter to the church at Corinth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid, for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Is it obvious your testing will come sooner and later? What do you mean by that, Brother Rick? Sometimes your testing of your faith may come when you lose your job. Sometimes your testing may come when you have a serious moral failure. Sometimes your testing may come when you have to retire. Sometimes your testing may come when your spouse says, I don't want to be married anymore. Yeah, that's how the testing comes. Now, when we think about this, God had already tested him by challenging him to get up from where he was, out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and to go to Hebron. And he stopped in a place called Haran for quite a while, waiting on his father-in-law to die. But at different times, Abram lived in Shechem, Bethel, Hebron, and Beersheba. And I look back through those scriptures. Hear the tests he experienced. He experienced the test of sorrow. His father, Terah, died in Haran. Not his father-in-law, but his father. He had an economic collapse when there was a famine drove him to Egypt for survival. You ever had more bills than you had money to pay? Boy, I have. Had to kick that can down the road a bit. He had the test of deception and failure when he lied about Sarah being his wife. You remember that story? Oh my goodness. Oh, she's my sister. Be careful. He had the test of success. He became extremely wealthy and powerful near Bethel. He had the test of family arguments and disagreements. You remember the story we preached on for months about Lot and Sodom and the Elamites? And you remember what happened when the kings of the north came and captured the king of Sodom and took Lot off captive. And Abraham, I don't know whether he knew this phrase, but he lived this phrase, blood's thicker than water. I know Lot's a jerk, but he's my jerk. And that's what he does. He has this a magnetic family. And in the process of all of this, in his testing, one of the greatest challenges was when he met that great high and holy Old Testament figure, Melchizedek. And he's still a mystery, isn't he? Still hard to figure out. I think he's a pre-incarnate Christ. Abraham pays him a serious tithe of all that he has. And now it comes to the place to where Abraham is tested by God promising him a son, and he has to wait. You and I, whatever stage and whatever level we're in, we're going to be tested. I was pastoring Cherryville Missionary Baptist Church when I was just in my 20s, early 20s. Nathan was born. Uncle Lawrence Sammons, he was everybody's uncle. That's what everybody called him, Uncle Lawrence. He was a hillbilly's hillbilly. I loved him. And his wife, Mill Lou. We took Uncle Lawrence. His wife had passed. Mill Lou's husband had passed. They had married late in life. They were both in their 70s when they got married. We took Lawrence, Uncle Lawrence, on a men's retreat down to Hudgens Hill Baptist Camp. Lawrence got ready to get on the old Dodge church van. He got halfway in and halfway out, and he just froze. And I was kind of like, what do I do here, you know? And he stepped down out of that van, went over to the car where Milu was standing, grabbed a hold of her, bent her backwards, planted one on her, straightened her back up. Her face was as red as your hoodie. He said, "I'm ready now," and got on the van. Here's Uncle Lawrence. Faith just had our first son, and he didn't want to sleep. Oh, he was really good at crying. He said, "I can tell, Ricky, you're having a problem with this boy." He said, "You better appreciate him crying right now when he's just stepping on your sleep. You wait till he steps on your heart. We're all going to be tested." And the question is, it's a part of the certainty of the journey. Well, what does this have to do with leaving a legacy? You think your kids aren't going to be tested? Oh, yeah. I don't care how many times they get a vaccine, how many times they think they're doing well. Guess what's coming next? Some teacher's going to give them a test. And the teachers aren't always in school, are they? Sometimes the teacher is a coworker or a boss. Sometimes the teacher is a spouse. Sometimes the teacher is a kid. But when the lesson needs to be learned, the teacher will show up. And God will allow these testing. Now, don't confuse testing with tempting. The devil wants to tempt you to get you derailed by the side of the road and never get started back. But the testing is a certainty. And Abraham is about ready to have one. I'm going to blame you for praying so long because I'm done for this evening. We've got through point number one, the introduction in point number one. But I think if you would take this lesson to heart, it will help you in the days ahead. When God asks you to do something that sounds unnecessary or impossible. Okay? Have a question or comment before we finish up? Slide remark. I know, it really galls you not to be able to have it. If you will, stand with me. If God's tested you this week or this day, maybe challenged you with an irate, an angry car running by you, cutting you off in traffic. Maybe you've seen an accident, or maybe you've had a difficulty that you really don't want to admit publicly. You can to God, and you can to me. If you feel like you need to share that prayer request with somebody, I stand right here with you. Confidentially, we can pray. But if you have a decision to make for Christ, you're welcome to do that tonight as we sing. Praise team practice tonight. Have choir practice. Jackie, is it too late to join the choir for Christmas?
It is not. We have just enough time.
Sunday evening, 4:30. You're welcome to come and join us. 4 o'clock. Has it gone back to 4?
It's
she is. Listen to this.
Hey, you got an extra an hour of sleep this
That's
week.
Right.
It won't even hurt.
Time change Sunday, so you're going to have that extra hour of sleep. Accountability. God bless you. Good night.